good ball movement from Wichita State.
Oh, wow.
Dexter Dennis with a right-handed thunder.
How about that one?
Two dunks for Dexter Dennis.
Wichita State getting back on track on Wednesday night, winning big over Prairie View A&M. Dexter Dennis was one of six Shockers in double figures as they won 102-66 over Prairie View. And we'll welcome you into the sports ticket here on Kitty Country 94, kittycountry94.com. Again, coming up, we'll have more on the Shockers here momentarily and their win. The Chiefs dealing with COVID right now. We'll have an update on that. And Andy Reid will preview what's going on moving forward with the COVID. Again, the Chiefs scheduled to play the Steelers coming up this weekend. Also, the Chiefs have their Pro Bowl selections and COVID impacting college football as well. We'll talk about all that coming up. First, we do have one local note. Tune in tonight for the final locker room chats for high school basketball in the 2021 portion of the schedule. We'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas tonight on our locker room chats on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. If you missed our locker room chats from last night in basketball or Tuesday night's wrestling locker room chats, you can always go back and listen to those on the locker room chat podcast at kittycountry94.com. And you can always listen live at Kitty Country 94 as well. Again, Wichita State last night picking up a win over Prairie View A&M, 102-66. The Shockers coming off of that tough loss to North Texas over the weekend and turned the ball over a lot of times in that loss, 12 in the second half, and that kind of forced them into the loss, really. I mean, they didn't take care of the basketball. They didn't cherish their possessions. They didn't move the ball the right way. Isaac Brown was very critical of his team after that loss to North Texas, but they bounced back 102-66. As they are now 9-3, the Shockers, Prairie View A&M 0-10 after that loss last night. As I mentioned, six players in double figures. Tyson Etienne led the way with 20. Also 16 points for Morris Udezi. 15 points added by Clarence Jackson. He also had 8 rebounds. Dexter Dennis, 14 points, 9 rebounds. Also in double figures off the bench, Kenny Poto had 12 and 9 boards. And also Chauncey Jenkins had 11 points for Wichita State. Again, they're now 9-3. And they'll get ready now coming up on Wednesday to start out next Wednesday, December 29th, to start out conference play in the American Athletic Conference against East Carolina. Again, Isaac Brown very vocally disappointed with his group after that loss to North Texas, but happy about the way his team performed on Wednesday night in Wichita.
I thought it was a great effort. I thought the ball moved around really good. I thought the guys made high basketball IQ plays all night on offense and defense. And that's the type of effort that we're going to need in this conference. You know, the ball didn't stick tonight. They shared it. We took good shots. We got downhill. And those guys responded well. It's been a tough couple days since that loss, and I've been on them hard, and I'm just glad they responded the right way.
So, again, Wichita State winning 102-66. As far as the other Kansas schools here before the break, KU is playing on Wednesday the 29th as well. They're hosting Harvard. That's on the schedule anyway right now. Kansas State was supposed to play Morgan State on Wednesday the 29th, but Morgan State is not playing, not making the trip due to COVID issues within their program. So K-State, as last I knew, still actively searching for a new opponent there before the end of the year to get another game in before they start Big 12 play in January. So, again, let's look at the in-state teams there on Wednesday night. Again, Wichita State picking up the win. In the Big 12, Texas, 16th ranked, winning over Alabama State 68-48. And 25th ranked Texas Tech beat Eastern Washington 78-46. As, again, those are two key wins there. Arizona lost for the first time last night to Tennessee. The Vols winning there in Knoxville on Wednesday night by a final of 77-73. Arizona now 11-1. Tennessee is now 9-2 with that victory. Tennessee ranked number 19 and expected to move up the list there as far as the rankings are concerned. Duke was trailing last night at halftime 36-32 to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech unranked coming into the game at 8-4. Duke with number 2 at 10-1. But Duke outscored Virginia Tech 44-29 in the second half to win it by 11, 76-65. Duke's first ACC game, they pick up the win. They're 11-1, 1-0 in the conference. Virginia Tech's now 0-2 in conference play. Other top 25 scores from Wednesday, Auburn number 12 over Murray State, 71-58, 13th-ranked Houston. Future Big 12 member winning over Texas State 80-47. LSU number 17 won 95-60 over Lipscomb. 20th ranked Kentucky 95-60. Identical score there over Western Kentucky. Providence Georgetown, that was a forfeit that Providence won due to a Georgetown forfeit. And I believe that's the Big East rules with COVID, if I am correct. And then UCLA, that was canceled. They're number five in the country. They were supposed to play Cal Poly last night, but that game was canceled. On the docket for today, not a lot in the top 25. Wisconsin, number 24, hosting George Mason. 6 o'clock tonight, 15th-ranked Seton Hall actually gets a forfeit over to DePaul. So there you go. That's how that works in the Big East. If you can't play, forfeit. Team can play, they get the win. Big 12 basketball, nothing going on here tonight or tomorrow. Again, a lot of it kind of shutting down here for the Christmas break. Same as high school sports right now, shut down here 23rd through the 27th. I believe today through Monday are the days that they can't be in the gym or practicing or anything like that. A little moratorium here for the holidays. They'll take the break, and that's kind of similar to what's going on in college hoops with not a lot of games on the schedule here tonight in men's college basketball. It'd be the same with women's college basketball. K-State women were supposed to play UIC last night, but UIC had COVID within their program, so that game got canceled as well. All right, shifting our attention now to football, and that's really going to dominate the rest of the sports ticket here, as we can tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs still dealing with COVID. They do have... right now, still 11 players that are on the COVID reserve COVID-19 list. Chris Jones is still on that list since last week. Multiple other players, including Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Nick Bolton, among many others that are still on that list. Harrison Butker is one of those players as well, and it was announced yesterday. And I don't know that they really needed to announce it because they had already on Tuesday elevated Elliott Frey from the practice squad to the 53-man roster, so it was pretty evident and clear that Harrison Butker wouldn't be playing on Sunday against the Steelers due to the COVID reserve list there. And it's said that Butker is unvaccinated, so he will have to quarantine for 10 days regardless of the symptoms he might have, and then after that he can come back if he tests negative. If he tests positive, and then he's still not going to be able to come back. So we'll see if Butker will miss one game or two for the Chiefs. We'll keep an eye on that. I got to say, I'm not all that fond of having a kicker with either a first name or last name, doesn't matter to me, with the name Elliott on the team for the Chiefs. Maybe it's a better omen if it's a first name instead of a last, though. Elliott Frey, again, signed to the 53-man roster, and he'll be the Chiefs kicker this Sunday. If the game does get played, it looks like all things considered, we should be moving forward with a game with the Chiefs and Steelers coming up on Sunday. Two players, again, were reinstated from the COVID list back on the active roster on Wednesday. Josh Gordon and Willie Gay were cleared to return. And, again, they are back. Chris Jones is still on that list, as I mentioned. Also, Lajarius Sneed back after missing the last two games, mourning the loss of his brother, who was murdered there just ahead of the – would have been the Raiders game. So, Sneed had missed that game, and he missed last week's game against the Chargers as well. And again, is slated to return for the Steelers game coming up on Sunday. With all the COVID going around with the Chiefs, Andy Reid was asked about that. How do you move forward? What do you do with all these guys? What do you think about playing on Sunday? And what do you do in practices leading up to that? Because you have so many different guys out. I mean, when you have 13 out of 53-man roster that's not active because they're on the COVID list. Now there's 11 on the COVID list. But by the way, there were no new positives on Wednesday for the Chiefs. But Andy Reid talked about, you know, you just got to move forward.
You know, we've gone through this for 2 years now. So, you know, anything's possible and we get it. And the next guys, you know, we've got to be ready to go. There's a, you know, they've given us opportunities to replace people with the number of practice squad and elevations and this and that. So, you know, we just go next man up and roll and hope those guys get better. I mean, it's the same way on the other side with the fellas, Pete. They've got to stay prepared too. They don't know when they'll test back in. And so they've got to be ready to go that way too. So, you know, it's a crazy thing that's in motion, fluid, as you'd say. So we just gotta hang with it and make sure everybody's prepares themselves and ready to play.
Andy Reid there talking about the COVID issues, the protocols and everything like that. The interesting part of that is guys have to be prepared when they test back in. So they're obviously is a possibility that not all of these guys are going to be out for Sunday. They could be back if they're vaccinated, if they have that negative test and can get back into the lineup possibly for the Chiefs. So we don't really know. Like, I want to actually preview the game here today since we're not going to be here tomorrow on the Sports Ticket, but it's hard to preview a game when you don't know who's all going to be playing for the Chiefs. And the Steelers have a few guys that are dealing with the COVID issues as well. And I'm actually going to try to check and see who's on the Steelers COVID list right now. Inside linebackers, Devin Bush and Marcus Allen, and offensive tackle Zach Banner are on the list at this point in time. Those are the three most recent players that have been added to that list. And I don't know. I've got nose tackle Montrevious Adams was the only player on the list prior to Wednesday. So he did miss last Sunday's win against the Tennessee Titans. So three guys, again, Devin Bush, Zach Banner, and backup inside linebacker Marcus Allen are out for the – well, they're on the COVID list right now for the Steelers. And, again, Devin Bush and Zach Banner are starters for the Steelers at inside linebacker. Actually, Banner's a backup offensive tackle for the Steelers. So, again, and I got onto a site that is now frozen up my internet, and hopefully I'll get that back eventually. I can't even do anything on the computer right now, so that's great. Yeah, this will be fun. Anyway, we'll try to continue on and maybe get this back. Maybe not. All right, yeah, so anyway, that's the situation as it stands right now for the Steelers and Chiefs. Again, we really don't know what's going on as far as the who's going to be playing for the Chiefs coming up on Sunday and who will, who won't. We'll just have to keep an eye on all that as far as that's concerned. So, again, we'll keep an eye on that for the Chiefs. They are scheduled to play again on Sunday at 3:25. We would have pregame coverage at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake and the Chiefs Radio Network should they not be able to play, or should they play that game as scheduled coming up on Sunday. So, again, Chiefs and Steelers on Sunday. I'm stalling, hoping my computer is going to actually work the right way here eventually. And it looks like at least I got a little bit of capability back here on it. Chiefs Pro Bowlers were announced on Wednesday as well. And we can tell you that six Chiefs were picked to play in the Pro Bowl this year. There's a conversation that maybe there should have been another one that might have been snubbed here for the Chiefs, but I'll discuss that a little bit once I go through the actual Chiefs players that were picked. Full Pro Bowl rosters officially announced as the Chiefs have six players selected initially. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, wide receiver Tyreek Hill, tight end Travis Kelce, left tackle Orlando Brown, safety Tyrann Mathieu, and defensive lineman Chris Jones all picked as representatives for the Chiefs. And again, those are the guys that have been selected to play in the, well, to possibly play in the Pro Bowl. For the Chiefs, Kelce is invited to a seventh straight Pro Bowl. Also, 6 years in a row, all 6 years that Tyreek Hill's been in the league, he's been selected to the Pro Bowl. The first year was as a specialist, but he's been selected as a wide receiver. Remember when Jalen Ramsey made sure everybody knew, oh, he was picked as a kick returner, not an actual corner, or not Jalen Ramsey. It was, It was Jalen Ramsey who was playing the defense against Tyreek Hill, saying, hey, back when he was playing with the Jaguars, he was picked as a special teams player. Well, now he's been picked as a wide receiver multiple times. We know the prowess of Tyreek Hill as a receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid's offense. And he's been rewarded for that with six straight years going to the Pro Bowl. Mahomes selected for the fourth straight year, his 4 years as a starter. He's been a Pro Bowl every year. Orlando Brown was a Pro Bowler 2 years in a row with the Ravens. This is his third straight selection, first with Kansas City. Chris Jones picked for the third straight year. Tyrann Mathieu selected for the third time in his career and the second straight season with the Chiefs for Tyrann Mathieu at safety. The Pro Bowl is scheduled for February 6th. The past two seasons, obviously the Chiefs players did not play in the game because they were playing in the Super Bowl. And if you play in the Super Bowl, your guys don't play in the game because they rest and they obviously don't want the threat of injury because the Pro Bowl is played a week before the Super Bowl. So, again, the Chiefs players have been selected the last 2 years but have not played in that game. And obviously a Chiefs fan, players, and everybody else involved hoping that that stays the case and they won't play again this year. Again, the Chiefs representatives, six of them, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Orlando Brown, Tyron Matthew, and Chris Jones. Now, there's one guy that people are wondering, hey, why was he not picked to the Pro Bowl? And that's Creed Humphrey. Creed at center as one of the biggest names on a list of why was this guy not selected to the Pro Bowl. Creed Humphrey's had a great season, the rookie out of Oklahoma. He's really been a diamond in the rough maybe for the Chiefs. I think people knew how good he was at Oklahoma, but the Chiefs were proactive and took a chance on the kid. And you could tell that, you know, when they needed offensive line help over the off season, they obviously, some people feel overcorrected a little bit on who they wanted to go get. You know, they got Joe Tooney and Orlando Brown and signed Kyle Long as well. And Lucas Niang was back. And so they re-signed Andrew Wiley also and went and got Austin Blythe as well. And so Blythe was expected to be the center for this team. But then Creed Humphrey was there in the second round of the draft, and they decided to take him. And he's been great. I mean, unreal, really, as a rookie for this Chiefs offensive line. And so you wonder, you know, why didn't he make the Pro Bowl? The second-round draft pick has a 97% pass block win rate, which is tops among all offensive linemen and of extreme value as a center of the one of the league's pass-heaviest offenses. So very, very important. PFF, I know Pro Football Focus. Sometimes the grades aren't always accurate. I mean, I'll get to that in a moment, but they do grade the Oklahoma product as easily the league's best pivot this season. Sits at first to position in run blocking, third in pass blocking as a center. He is a rookie, but several other first-year players have made the Pro Bowl, and you could obviously make a strong case, a strong case for Creed Humphrey to be in the Pro Bowl. But I think every year you go through this, there's some snubs, there's some guys, whether it's All-Star Game and basketball or baseball or probably in the NHL too. I don't really follow their All-Star Game much, but the Pro Bowl as well. I mean, there's plenty of years where it's like, hey, this guy was better than this. This guy probably should have made it. Now, should have made it. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to be naive here and ignorant and act like I know who all the centers are in the NFL. If you act like you know for sure that Creed Humphrey's the best center, then you must be watching all 32 teams play every game. That's all I'm saying. So I'm not going to sit here and like cry foul and be like, no, Creed Humphrey didn't get to the Pro Bowl. This is ridiculous. It's a travesty. I'm not going to do that. But he does grade out as one of the best centers in the NFL, one of the top three or four with the numbers. Again, like I said, Pro Football Focus says that Breece Hall is not even an honorable mention all Big 12 player at Iowa State. And so PFF does grades for college, you know, prospects as well and what they're doing in college. So I'm going to tell you, those ratings, not the only thing you should go on when you're trying to figure out who the best player is at a certain position. Mitchell Schwartz always graded high with PFF as well, and I don't even know if he ever made it to a Pro Bowl, to be completely honest with you. The former tackle for the Chiefs, and I think that he was maybe all pro a couple times, but I don't think he ever made it to the Pro Bowl, and he had some of the best ratings that PFF gives out. So again, that's not always the easiest way to determine that he did not. He was one-time All-Pro Mitchell Schwartz, and there was plenty of times where it was like, well, how did this guy not make the Pro Bowl? I mean, he grades out as one of the best players at his position in the league, but never made it. So again, you can't always use those grades to judge, but I feel like Creed Humphrey is a Pro Bowler, should have been in the Pro Bowl. But again, I'm a Chiefs fan. I watch the Chiefs play a lot. I know what he does. I know how big of an impact he's actually had on this offensive line as a rookie for the Chiefs. And I'm not going to sit here and, again, cry foul because Creed Humphrey wasn't selected as a Pro Bowler. But would have been nice. Colts had the most Pro Bowlers with seven. I'm not going to go through the whole list. Jonathan Taylor's obviously on that list. And then one interesting thing was the Broncos didn't have any Pro Bowlers. One guy that maybe could have made it for the Broncos, safety Justin Simmons, and also rookie corner Patrick Surtain II. A couple guys that maybe could have made the Pro Bowl with the numbers and the way that they played this year, but the Broncos had zero guys make it to the Pro Bowl. There's not a rule like baseball has where every team needs to be represented in the Pro Bowl. So not going to talk much more about that. Creed Humphrey could very well still make it to the Pro Bowl if the Chiefs actually play in that game. He is one of the alternates. The Chiefs have several alternates for the Pro Bowl as well, and if they would make it, we will pass that info along to you. Again, the Chiefs' Pro Bowl selections announced, and we hope that none of those things mean anything and the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl again and not the Pro Bowl. All right, finally here in sports, we kind of turn our attention to college football.
This one for the ball game. It's up, penalty marker is out. And it's good, but we will await the call of the penalty. Army storming onto the field.
Illegal substitution. Two number sixes on the defense. That penalty is declined.
Army winning over Missouri on Wednesday night in the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth. I'm going to have more on that in just a moment. I left NFL a little bit too quick. We do want to let you know there is Thursday night football going on tonight in the NFL where the Titans and 49ers are playing. This is an important game for both teams as the 49ers come in at 8-6. Titans are 9-5. They held a one-game lead over the Colts in the AFC South, so Tennessee really looking to finish things off and get this win. Again, that's tonight at 7:20 on NFL Network. Saturday games on Christmas Day, the Browns against the Packers at 3:30. And the Colts are taking on the Cardinals at 7:15 on Christmas evening. Christmas night there, I should say. Not Christmas Eve, Christmas night. Again, the Chiefs slated to play the Steelers 3:25 on Sunday. Lions and Falcons, Ravens at Bengals, Rams at Vikings, Bills at Patriots, Jaguars at Jets, Giants at Eagles, Buccaneers at Panthers, Chargers at Texans, Bears at the Seahawks, Broncos at Raiders, and Washington football team at Dallas on Sunday. Then Monday Night Football has the Dolphins traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints. So that's an update on what's coming up on the schedule this weekend for NFL football. Again, Chiefs and Steelers slated for 3:25 on Sunday pregame coverage at 2 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. Again, you heard the cut there. The Missouri Tigers losing in their bowl game in the Armed Forces Bowl on Wednesday. Mizzou held a 16-7 lead over Army in the game at halftime there in Fort Worth, but Army scored two touchdowns to take a 21-16 lead early in the fourth. Tigers regained the lead on a touchdown with a minute 11 remaining, but Missouri missed the two-point attempt, and Army was able to get the field goal as time expired to win 24-22. So Army gets the victory in the Armed Forces Bowl. So they're a 4-1 over under their coach there in bowl games here is Army. So they win 24-22 over Mizzou. College football bowl season is continuing here today as there are two games on the docket. Well, that's going to be at the top of the page here. North Texas against Miami, Ohio in the Frisco Football Classic at Toyota Stadium in Frisco, Texas at 2:30 this afternoon on ESPN. Then at 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN, it is the Gasparilla Bowl, UCF against Florida in Tampa. Our buddy and friend Brian Haney is actually calling the play-by-play on the radio on that game for the Gasparilla Bowl, UCF against Florida. Again, that is tonight at 6 o'clock in Tampa. As far as bowl games, before we'll have the show again on Christmas Eve coming up tomorrow, Hawaii against Memphis in the Hawaii Bowl, 7 o'clock on ESPN, and then on Saturday it'll be Georgia State against Ball State. And those are the only two bowl games coming up until we get back on Monday with a 10 a.m. bowl game between Western Michigan and Nevada in the Quick Lane Bowl on Monday. So they'll get started early, and then they'll have an afternoon game Monday as well. That's the thing about these bowl games is I get that they want to have, like, bowl games where they can be separated and you don't have to flip channels and watch the same ones at the same time. Wade's talked about this before, and I have too, that we liked – I liked when the bowl games were on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. You could flip around, watch whatever games you wanted. And with technology nowadays, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've got at least two TVs running in my living room at once, a lot of times even three, and I could pull it up on a computer. You could have, I mean, three, four screens running at the same time, so the issue wouldn't be there as far as, hey, oh, I don't want to flip back and forth. But how much are you gaining as the Quick Lane Bowl or the Military Bowl on Monday with kicking off at 10 a.m. and 1:30 p.m.? I mean, I know you get the money from ESPN no matter when you play that game, but, I mean, we've gotten to the point where do viewers even matter? Like, does it matter who's watching the game when you're playing at 10 a.m. and 1:30? And that's been happening throughout the bowl season. I mean, next Tuesday, the 28th, 11 a.m., 2:15 p.m. The 29th, 10 a.m., 1:15 p.m. I mean, 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, December 30th. I mean, 2 p.m. for bowl games. And it's like, now a lot of people will be off on Christmas or on New Year's Eve, so they can watch the game at 10 o'clock in the morning on December 31st, which we don't know who's playing in that game. Wake Forest, number 17, is not playing Texas A&M, and that's where we'll go next. But, again, it's just weird to me that they're kicking these games off starting in the morning. Like, if your job is to cover, you know, like, I know my cousin's watching some of these games because he covers sports, and he's kind of covering these bowl games on 24/7 sports. But it's like, I don't understand why we're kicking games off at 10 o'clock in the morning on a weekday when, again, I know a lot of people get time off during the holidays here, Christmas and New Year's, but it's weird to me. Like, I don't understand the concept of doing that. I'd much rather have an opportunity to just flip around bowl games and watch them all at the same time in this day of technology where you can have multiple screens going at one time. That's just me, I guess. I just don't feel like viewership is probably very good for, I mean, I don't know if viewership's going to be very good anyway for an 11 a.m. kick between Western Michigan and Nevada, but I would think you'd have a better chance of getting people to watch that if it wasn't at 10 a.m. on a Monday. Personal opinion. Again, as we said, that game coming up on New Year's Eve at 10 a.m., Wake Forest, number 17 in the country, playing in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville, Florida, and they need a new opponent because Texas A&M has said they are not playing. 25th-ranked Aggies dealing with COVID issues, and they have dropped out of the Gator Bowl matchup with Wake Forest on New Year's Eve due to that COVID outbreak. Gator Bowl is said to be searching for a replacement, and that appears to be that Rutgers would be the first on their list. Rutgers is 5-7, and you say 5-7, how can they play in a bowl game? Well, it's just based on your APR, your things of that nature, as far as, you know, you got to have players graduated and all that. That goes into a percentage of the APR. And Rutgers, again, at 5-7, who initially is not playing in a bowl game, so I don't know if they're – if you don't play in a bowl game, I don't think you really are practicing, right, if you know you're not in there. But we'll find out. The NCAA Division I Football Oversight Committee will meet today to determine the policy for a bowl replacement opponent for Wake Forest among the 5-7 teams. Again, if the committee leans heaviest on academic progress rate, Rutgers would be the first option because of its highest score. Bowl selection criteria for teams that don't meet the 6-win threshold typically favor those with the highest APR scores. Sources said the Oversight Committee could defer to the Big Ten and the Gator Bowl about which team replaces Texas A&M, which withdrew from the game earlier Wednesday because of COVID-19 cases and other issues that affected its roster of available players. Texas A&M Athletic Director Ross Bjork told ESPN that the program was down to 38 scholarship position players, of which 20 were offensive and defensive linemen. So, again, it's those positions. The position group's kind of what we talked about last year with a lot of these teams saying, hey, we can't play because we don't have enough guys at this position. And when you're in a position group, you're meeting together, you're doing all these things, you've got to be in quarantine with all those guys. And I don't know how vaccinated and unvaccinated works in college football. It might be different in different conferences. So Gator Bowl did tell ESPN there had been no contact with Rutgers as of Wednesday night. Illinois has communicated its desire to replace Texas A&M could be a preferred option as well. And we'll find out. Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan, an Illinois alum, was pushing for his alma mater to play in that bowl game, again, which is in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Jaguar Stadium. So we'll see what happens with that. Texas A&M not playing their bowl game due to COVID. So then the question is, what happens if a team can't play in the college football playoff because of COVID? What if they have to quarantine? What if they get an outbreak? What happens? Do we move on? Are there forfeits? Do we find a replacement for the college football playoff? You do not find a replacement. As it relates to COVID, the College Football Playoff Management Committee had a new policy written this week that allows a team to win a national semifinal or national title by forfeit should their opponent not be able to play because of an outbreak. The national championship could be rescheduled if there's an outbreak and pushed back, but it wouldn't be pushed back any later than January 14th. So not a lot of wiggle room there with the national title game as far as pushing it back. It's scheduled to be January 10th, so January 14th would be then on that Friday after that. And so that's the latest that they would push that back for the college football playoffs. So, again, not a lot of wiggle room there. You're more likely going to have a forfeit than a reschedule and a pushback to a different date. So the policy states that if one team is able to play in the title game and the other can't because of COVID-19 and the game can't be rescheduled, the team that can't play will forfeit and the opponent will be declared the national champion. Here's the kicker, though. If both teams are unable to play and the game can't be rescheduled, it'll be declared a no contest and the national championship would be vacated for this season. As of now, the college football playoffs still expecting all the games to be played as scheduled with no reduction in attendance. The semifinal games are on New Year's Eve as Cincinnati plays Alabama in the Cotton Bowl and then Georgia against Michigan in the Orange Bowl. 2:30 and 6:30 are the slated times to start those games on New Year's Eve. Again, that's what's scheduled right now. Again, no changes as far as attendance and who can come to the game. There's no cap on that at this point in time. So that's going to be interesting. I myself am not a fan of it. For the national championship, it's the same thing. I don't think they're going to try to reschedule any of the I wouldn't think they'd reschedule any of the semifinal games. If you can't play, you just can't play. So, but my question is, what if two teams, there really wasn't wording that I saw anyway in the story, and I didn't read all the fine print, but there really wasn't wording what happens if let's say Alabama and Cincinnati both can't play because of COVID. Is it just automatically Michigan against Georgia for the championship? You just, like, waive that game? That'd be interesting, right? If two teams from one of the semifinals both can't play, I don't think we're going to get to that. I think we're going to be like, hey, we tested and nobody, we don't have any problems. I feel like there's so much money to be lost in this that every avenue to take to make sure that these games don't get postponed, not likely for the semis, but canceled or forfeited in the semis and then postponed or canceled and forfeited in the national championship, that there's so much money to be made there for the schools, the universities, the conferences, everybody involved, that I don't think we're going to have to deal with this. And I think that's why the policy was written as such, to where, yeah, we're going to put this policy in, but we're playing these games. I mean, we'll figure it all out, but we're playing the games. And Texas A&M, I mean, what do they have to play for by dropping out of the Gator Bowl? It doesn't mean anything for them as far as, you know, trying to win a national title and things of that nature. But the four teams out involved, Alabama, Cincinnati, Michigan, and Georgia, you're playing these games to win a national championship. And I just don't feel like we're even going to have to deal with this. But it is interesting the way that they have put these things together as far as COVID is concerned. Now, if this would actually happen, what a bummer. Like, nobody would like it. Like, everybody would be frustrated. Okay, so if one team can't play, why not just push another team in there? You're going to know before, but bowls are all set. The games are all set. You're not going to pull a team from a bowl on New Year's Eve and move them to a different game on New Year's Eve or New Year's Six Bowls. If you're supposed to play on New Year's Day, they're not going to move that up to a different game because it's just you're getting too close to the time. But it's a situation I hope we don't see happen, but a situation that, and I don't think will happen, but regardless whether it does or doesn't happen, an interesting scenario that could happen should the teams say, hey, no, I can't play, like Cincinnati, like, or Alabama, like, nah, we can't play. And then Cincinnati automatically moves into the national championship. How would that be? You know, Cincinnati, the first non-Power 5 to make it to the college football playoff, and they would get into the championship on a forfeit by Alabama. It's not happening. I don't see it ever happening. But imagine the takes on that. Oh, Cincinnati only got there because Alabama couldn't play. Cincinnati absolutely wants to go play Alabama and see what happens, see if they can advance to the national championship. So, again, college football playoff, we could see some forfeitures if teams can't play. Again, highly doubtful. I'm not expecting it to happen. 9:45 the time here on this Thursday, December 23rd on the Sports Ticket on Katy Country 94. We thank everybody for tuning in. I think we covered it all there. I do want to check and see if there's anything I've missed here. Make sure the Chiefs don't have any more positive cases as far as COVID is concerned, as they didn't on Wednesday. And I'm going to do an actual quick scroll through Twitter here to make sure that that is the case, that there's still not anybody new on the COVID list for the Chiefs. And it's sad that I got to do this right before the end of the show just to make sure. Again, Chiefs are slated to play at 3:25 on Sunday. And, yeah, I'm not seeing anything new as far as that's concerned for the Chiefs. So that's good news for Kansas City right now. And that's that. Chiefs, Steelers. Hopefully we get the game on Sunday. Pre-game coverage at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 3:25, crossing our fingers that it all goes through. And the Chiefs might get some of those players back that are on the COVID list and taking on the Steelers on Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead Stadium. Again, this is our final show before Christmas, so we do want to wish everybody a great holiday season here. Merry Christmas to everybody. And again, I hope you get to enjoy time with your family and friends if that's what you're doing as well. And enjoy Christmas, and we'll talk to you again on Monday here on Waterside Wake Up and the Sports Ticket. So have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.